Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good Christian friends, rejoice. Today is the last day of Christmas. You know, we look at that and say, well, wasn't Christmas 2 weeks ago? In the church, there's 12 days of Christmas. You know, that sounds familiar. I wonder if we should write a Christmas carol about that. Okay? Well, when was Christmas first celebrated? In an old list of Roman bishops, and this was compiled in 354 AD, these words appear for 336 AD. 25 December, Natus Christus in Bethlehem, Judea. December 25th, Christ was born in Bethlehem, Judea. So, that day, December 25th, 336, is the first recorded celebration of Christmas. Now you notice the year is 336, 300 years after Jesus lived. You know, for the first 300 years of the church's existence, birthdays were not given much emphasis. It's not really part of Jewish culture. Not even the birth of Christ. So the day in which a saint died was considered more significant and important than the day that he was born. Because it was that day that he was ushered into the kingdom of heaven. So Christ's baptism received more attention than his birthday in the January 6th feast of the Epiphany. So tomorrow we start the season of Epiphany. Next Sunday we celebrate Jesus' baptism. And what we will have next Sunday, just to give you a heads up, we're going to have our baptismal font filled here. And when you come up to do communion, I want you to dip your fingers in the water and make the sign of the cross. When we make the sign of the cross, it is in remembrance of our baptism. And so the baptism of Jesus is really important. Who else said it was really good during the baptism? This is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And who said that? God. So if God says the thought was important, it's important for us too. Was Jesus really born on December 25th?
Nope.
We don't know what day he was born on. When I was at seminary, they told us it was probably in March, could be May. Dionysius Exiguus, a 6th century monk, who was the first to date all history from December 25th, the day of our Lord, 1. So other traditions give dates as early as mid-November or as late as March. So how did Christians come to be celebrated? Christmas come to be celebrated on December 25th? Well, we all know what happens around December 25th is the winter solstice. And in pagan cultures, that's a big feast. You know, the Jews had a festival of lights at this time. The Germans had the Yule festival. Celtic legends connected the solstice with Baldur, one of their gods. The Scandinavian sun god who was struck down by a mistletoe arrow, born on December 25th. The pagan festival of Saturnalia, the Romans feasted and gave gifts to the poor. That's the Bacchanalia. That word has come in. And the god Mithras was born out of the side of a bull on December 25th. So one of the early Christian fathers got this idea. What if we had a Christmas religious festival on that day? So when we get past this generation, when everybody has these big parties, it's for a Christ-centered party rather than a pagan-centered party. Hey, it makes sense to me. You know, most of the early Christian churches were built on the site of a pagan temple. How many of you knew that? Well, if they're used to going there, let's make them go there for a Christian reason, not a pagan reason. You know, I think, you know, sometimes people are smarter, we give them credit. All right, well, let's put this in perspective. 336 years, okay? What was 336 years ago? So take your shoes and socks off, let's count. 1684. Under 2 years before the establishment of the United States. It's 1 year before James V of Scotland becomes King James I of England. King James Bible, this is even before him. It's 1 year, because we have people from Rhode Island here, it's 1 year before William Carpenter founded the colony of Rhode Island.
Roger Williams.
And when I looked up, it said William Carpenter.
Roger Williams was kicked out of the Massachusetts Bay Colony.
Someday I'll tell you a story about the Dugger family. That's all right. Well, we can do it now. There's a book called Drums Along the Mohawk, and one of the places in the book is called Dygert's Tavern. And Dygert, my ancestor, was kicked out of the center of the family in Herkimer County and started a tavern. So I guess I come by it on Earth. All right, so we have all of these pagan holidays becoming Christian holidays on December 25th. And my sermon today is Good Christian Friends Rejoice. All right, let's look at a couple things here in our gospel. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus taught those rabbis for 3 days. It wasn't just for a few minutes on an afternoon. It's three full days. And Scripture tells us that Jesus is 12 years old earlier in that reading. All right, stop and think of your own kids. When they were 12 years old, could they sit among the most learned men and have an intelligent discourse and teach the older guys? Some of you doing this, some of you doing that. But that's a pretty sharp kid, isn't it? And remember, here's the thing. Numbers in the Bible have meaning. What is three?
Trinity.
Divine perfection. So anytime you hear a number in the Bible, remember there's always a hidden meaning to it. Because that's the way the Jews looked at things in the world. All right, so let's put ourselves in Mary and Joseph's place. You have a full day before you found that your kid wasn't there. Now stop and think. They'd already walked away from Jerusalem for a day, so I had to turn around and go back. Then once they get there, they search your room for 3 days. What would have happened with you and your kid if that happened?
Good.
Application of the board of knowledge to education seat of knowledge, probably. He was missing in the largest city of the Middle East at the time. And there's always people around, you know, I wouldn't trust. So put yourselves in their place. Your child has disappeared during a trip from the city to an area that you live in, a small town. As a parent, you can just see there's predators that have always preyed on kids. But at 12 years of age, Jesus was pretty close to being a man in their culture. A bar mitzvah is at age 13. That's when you're accepted into the community as an adult. And when we look at the lifetime of most people back then, 35 years of age, well, if you're 13 to 15 in there, you get married, you have a kid, because in 15 years, you're going to be looking at old age and dying of old age at 35. Things have changed a little bit since then, haven't they? We should ask Paul about that. All right. So what do you do? Well, you get to Jerusalem. There's no city government. There's no police department. They haven't been invented yet. So what do you do? Well, the men who are ruling the community are the Sanhedrin. Where are they? At the temple. So after searching for Jesus, they decide, well, let's go to the temple and see if we can get some help in trying to find their son. And so what do they find? Jesus is sitting there with all these learned men lecturing to the members of the ruling party. not as a child, but as an equal. So when you walked in and saw that, how would you feel as your parent? Scripture. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so?" But gee, have we ever said anything like that to our own kids? How could you treat me that way? Okay? "Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. Would you understand it if your kid said that to you? No, I don't think so either. Jesus was special, wasn't he? But didn't God prepare them for this? You know, we all know, man, my sermon on Christmas Eve was, "Mary, did you know?" Yeah, she knew. Up here, did she know here? See, there's the difference. I mean, you can sit there and intellectualize everything. But do you really get it until you experience it? Heck, the apostles didn't get it. Look how many times they questioned. Let's look at Solomon. Solomon became king of Israel about the same age that Jesus was when he taught at the temple. And that's what our Old Testament lesson was about today. "And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern before good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people?" Solomon was one of us. He wasn't God. He knew he wasn't God. He was one of the people. So as one of the people, he had the same concerns, and he was just as scared of taking this throne as you and I would be. I mean, he's a kid, and he's responsible for life or death. Would you be scared? I know I would too. How did God respond to Solomon? Scripture. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the lives of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you." Last Sunday, I worshiped at Trinity Lutheran Church in Daytona Beach. And it was really nice, because I walked in, the pastor there is in the Society of Holy Trinity with me, and I didn't know he was there, so, you know, we were already friends. But during the service, they sang the old "Create in Me a Clean Heart." "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me." Psalm 51. And it was so refreshing. I mean, I grew up singing that every Sunday. But creating that right spirit is the gift that God gave Solomon, isn't it? That wisdom. But yet, isn't Jesus in opposition to God's statement that none like you shall arise after you? No, God was correct. Jesus was God as well as man. So this prophecy didn't apply to him. Jesus was born as the Word made flesh. Think of John 1. The Word of God created in a physical form. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It's a very first sentence, the first chapter of John. This is something the world had never seen before. So was it Jesus in opposition to what God told Solomon? No. He gave him the gift of wisdom. Jesus was wisdom. You see the difference? In closing today, I want to leave you with what I think is the most important scripture of the day. Not the gospel, not the Old Testament, not the song, but Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In this letter, Paul explains how God has tied us to Christ as the inheritors of the promise of the cross of redemption. Pull up your bulletin so you can read this with me. Blessed be the Father, God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Think about how heavy that sentence is. That we should be holy and blameless before him. Are we holy and blameless? But yet God says that we are. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. So not only are we holy and blameless, we're sons of God and daughters. According to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. If you notice, Beloved is capitalized B. He's blessed us in Jesus, his beloved Son. In him we have redemption through his blood, the cross, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance. In the Bible, inheritance is important. How do you get an inheritance? You're part of the family. Whose family are we part of? God's. We have gained an inheritance as sons and daughters of the Most High. How many of you ever thought of that before when you read that? See, there's where we really get into Scripture. That's why this is so important. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. And let's say this together again. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And how did we acquire the Holy Spirit? The day of our baptism. You see why this little, what is it, three paragraphs or four paragraphs is so important? There's Christianity. There's the gifts of God to us in Jesus Christ and through the cross. May this blessing of truth keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.